For more information, visit www.google.com.
This is Bugat. You're listening to some World Beat 2.0 on CKUT 90.3 in Montreal. Yay!
Que viva Montreal, la montaña, belleza natural, del oeste hasta el este, para el sur y los barrios del norte.
What's up, what's up, good people? To those of you listening wherever, whenever, whatever time it is, good morning, good evening, and good night. You are locked into another Tuesday evening with Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 FM. Soul P has been on the air since 1994. We bring you all the topics, the guests, the ups and downs, the highs and the lows of the black community here in Montreal, across Canada, and internationally. I'm your host for the evening, Kim Dominique Ferguson, and we have a beautiful evening of music and discussion lined up for you tonight. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 on your FM dial.
Bring a ton of bugs. There might be 50 of y'all, but there's a ton of us. Cold in the winter, ready for summer bug. Heavy season with a ton of trucks. Ton of bug, bring a whole lot of a ton of bug, bring a ton of bug. It might be 50 of y'all, but there's a ton of us. Bring another scale,
bring it.
It's too heavy. Bring another scale, a crump way too heavy. Bring another scale,
damn.
It's too heavy,
damn.
It's too heavy. My crump is way too heavy. Bring another scale,
bring it.
It's too heavy. I said bring another scale.
Another one.
A crump is way too heavy. Bring another scale. This is too heavy. This is too heavy. Man, it's too heavy. Bring a whole lot of it. A ton of bug. It might be 50 of y'all.
50 of y'all.
But there's a ton of us. Cold in the winter. Ready for summer bug.
Keep it cold, boy.
Heavy season. With a ton of trucks.
Damn. Oh.
Let's get it. I don't bounce, I don't sway, I just skip on them, skip, skip on them. Look what I did on them, do it big on them, steady dip, dip on them. Tell my homie, y'all, we about to do a little jig on them. I don't bounce, I don't sway, I just skip on them, skip, skip on them. Look what I did on them, do it big on them, steady dip, dip on them. Tell my homie, y'all, we about to do a little jig on them. Chest pop, skip. Whoa, smack, groove, whip, pose, wobble, focus, placement. We jabbing the streets, your room, the basement. We labbing, I'm hefty, I'm live, no guessing. Just bring it, grab em, slam em, snatch it, then swing it. Bang out, bang out, bang out, bang out, bang out, bang out. Man, we banging out on them. Sway, I just skip on them, skip, skip on them. Look what I did on them, do it big on them, steady dip, dip on them. Tell my homie, y'all, we about to do a little jig.
Don't hurt them, somebody about to get murdered. Don't hurt them, don't hurt them, somebody about to get murdered. Somebody about to get murdered. Somebody about to get murdered.
Yo, take a moment and look how crazy I done made this. Hype. Bring the house down, him and his whole squad got annihilated. Yo. Some of y'all think this is violent, but you know what? I ain't stopping. Nah. Won't give a buck like 5, 10, 20, 50, and 100 is all I got in my pocket. You no match for me. You think so well, better realize you've been fantasizing. Yo. Better get out the way, cause I pull up the accession and start to vandalize it. Y'all been popping off online, but when it's on site, you and your fam be hiding. Yo. All that rah-rah, but you won't back it up. Stop with the fake buck, just be silent. It can all be silly and funny till I run up on your hella buck with the gully feel. Yo. Catch at least 20 bodies, no less 20. That's the reason why I had to call 20 kills. Buck business, lifestyle, and buck, hype out, hype. Hit the switch, lights out, no sleep, I'm a night owl.
I'm in Valley, we could go rounds, got my own slang, got my own sound, my ring and my middle finger, they both down, in case you ain't know it, that's low style, low style, low style.
What up, Texas? Shout out to the bro out. Illa Red, yo,
this finna go south. Time to get buck. Let's go wild.
Silence.
So I swing him out the window. Then slam his little through the wall.
Through the wall.
And when that lob just goes through the roof, that means we gone through it all. Ask me how I feel.
Yeah, I'm feeling kind of fine.
Yes, yes, yes. We're back. We're back. We're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and my guest this evening is Claude Cadet, a Montreal native who spent 2 decades in Fort Lauderdale and had returned to his roots in 2008. Motivated by a passion for financial empowerment within the Black community, he founded Clark Cadet Consulting. Through personalized mentorship, he helps individuals eliminate debt and optimize credit, fostering a mindset shift towards financial independence. Additionally, Clark is the driving force behind the Cadet Care Foundation, a nonprofit dedicated to providing essential financial education, particularly to marginalized groups, with a focus on adolescents, low-income families, minorities, and youth. The foundation offers a range of services aimed at transforming lives and building a brighter future. Through his entrepreneurial spirit and philanthropic endeavors, Clark Cadet is committed to creating lasting impact and opportunities for all. Clark Cadet, welcome to Soul Perspectives. How are you doing today?
I am amazing. Thank you so much for having me on. How are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. I'm doing all right. This evening, I'm excited to talk to you and see what it is that you're up to. So, let's start with the past. How come you left Montreal?
Well, you know, I didn't really have much of a choice. I was 3 years old, right?
So okay.
My mother decided that Fort Lauderdale was a better place for us. She's a registered nurse specializing in trach, which is something I know nothing about. But back then, that was high in demand. They offered her a beautiful package to come to Florida. And she was like, yeah, we're leaving the snow behind and we're going to go to the sun. So that's what we did.
All
and,
right.
You know, after 20 years of being there and enjoying the life, smack in the middle of the recession, I was like, you know what? It's time to go back home and find out what Montreal is about. So okay. That's how I ended up back home.
Okay. And why did you decide to come back to find out what Montreal was about?
Well, you know, when you leave somewhere at 3 years old, you know nothing about where you're from, right?
Right.
So growing up in Fort Lauderdale, everyone kind of had an attachment to their culture, to their background. And I'm of Haitian descent, so obviously, yeah, I attached to that. But knowing that I was born in Montreal but knew nothing about my own country, my own province, I was like, no, I need to go back and experience this. So, and obviously with the recession being doing what it did to Floridians in 2000, I was like, well, the beach is beautiful and all, but there's nothing to enjoy if you don't have any money to rent, right? So let me go back and get up the touch of home and then rebuild from there. And I had a great time with that.
Okay. And what made you decide to found your organization, Clark Cadet Consulting?
So Clark Cadet Consulting was founded out of necessity, to be honest with you. There was a glaring gap in the Black community. Like, it was very, very obvious that there was a lack of financial mentors who had personally navigated the complexities of credit.
Yeah.
So from building it up to bouncing back from setbacks, all of that, I did it on my own. And when I looked for help in the community, there was no one.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay, so there's a lot of folks out there claiming they can help fix credit and debts, but very few have the proven track record and really lived by experience to back that up. So that's why I was like, you know what? I'm going to go through the whole process, document everything, get great contact with these banks, and then I'm going to turn around and help my community. So I'm going to become the mentor that's missing in my community, not just for myself, but for everybody around me.
And why do you think it's necessary for folks, especially Black folks, to understand money better and how it moves?
That's a very great question. It's as simple as understanding that if we don't teach ourselves, if we don't put ourselves in the position where we understand money and how to manage it, understand credit and how to manage it,
mm-hmm.
we're never going to be able to do anything with it. The Jewish community, the Asian community, they all have this one thing in common. They build around each other and they educate and inform each other.
Yeah.
We don't do that well enough in the Black community. So in order to do that, we need the education to start from youth. We need to understand how to manage money before we have it, so that when we get it, we know what to do with it.
And What role does like systemic racism, redlining, and like all of those things that historically have affected the community? Because we can't deny that in the past there has been many, many Black communities, especially in the States. I don't know so much for Canada and Montreal specifically, but there were, you know, we know about Black Wall Street that was bombed back in the day. So, like, what role does systemic racism and redlining have to do with, like, maybe diminishing our knowledge and our ability to become better financial planners, to build generational wealth?
Well, simply said, it trickles down generation after generation. If my mother and your mother, for example, had to work 12-hour days in order to make ends meet, they didn't have time to teach us about finances. They're simply trying to manage it themselves. Mm-hmm. They didn't have the opportunities to say, hey, look, let me sit you down and show you how to balance this checkbook, how to manage these credit cards. Because themselves, they're just trying to keep their heads above water. So systematically, there's never been any place that puts us at a fair ground where we can say, as young African-Americans or young minorities, that we have the same opportunities as non-minorities to have that experience. We just haven't had that. So how do we change that? If we inform and educate ourselves, educate our children, educate the youth, so that when the opportunities come up, rather than make mistakes and have to learn from them, we know how to react to opportunity rather than having to react to mistakes.
Right. And what is the founding principles of your consultation forum?
The founding principles is that I'm leading by example. You can have firms. Most people, when they get in trouble with finances, they run to these companies and they're like, hey, help me get out of these debts. Help me pay off these debts. Mm-hmm. But the people that are helping you, number one, don't look like you.
Right.
They don't know what the reality of your situation is. If you tell them what you're going through, they're simply checking off a box on a piece of paper. Right. I've lived through it. And I'm going to give you realistic ways to get out of situations that are not only going to help you now, but assure that years down the line, when things are much, much better, you're not regretting a mistake that was made back then.
Right. And what is some of the differences? Because I'm going on an assumption, but you've had clients from a variety of backgrounds, not just Black folks, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And what has been the difference for you from, say, working with a white client versus working with a Black client? What has been the difference in terms of mindset?
Well, the mindset is, most of the time when I have a Black client that comes in, and it's unfortunate, but it's something that's getting better. But what the reality is that it's reactive. Mm-hmm. They're coming in and say, look, I have these issues. I've tried to get with the bank. The banks won't approve me for any loans. Even these second tier lenders are offering me 40% interest rate, 35% interest rate, and I just can't afford that. And I need a solution. Clark, help me. And they bring me their problems. Mm-hmm. The other rate is, not all, but a majority, come to me and say, hey, look, things are not looking great. I'm still ahead of it for now, but I want to be prepared for if things get worse. Help me set a plan. So that's the difference in the two so far.
To
give credit to where it's due, a lot of the entrepreneurs of color in my network that come to me are trying to grow their business. Mm-hmm. So that does help. But for the most part, when I'm talking about professionals and people who are just independents, when they come to me, it's usually, I tried to do this on my own. I didn't know what I was doing. And now I've got myself in a hole and I need you to help get me out.
Right. So they, the ones that are, the Black folks tend to, not necessarily all, but they tend to be in more of a, it's an emergency phase and they need help, whereas other folks tend to be in more like of a seeing the potential danger coming down the road and wanting to prepare for the pitfalls or the benefits of where they're moving with their business.
Absolutely. For the most part, that's what it looks like. I'll give you just a quick example. My podcast, I talk about, we're on episode 15, my financial literacy podcast. We talk about everything from professionals to business people, to people who are in debt, bankruptcy, to people who are thriving and doing well. Well, the people who listen to my podcast, I get a mix of reaction. I get people that come to me and say, hey, I'm doing very well, but I want to make sure I keep doing well. I want to hire you to coach me to do ABC.
Right.
Then I have other people who say, you know what? I can relate to what you were saying here about being in debt and not being able to get ahead of these interest rates and interest payments. And I need you to help me stop those payments. So the podcast gives a reality for everyone to look at. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, everyone has one thing in common. They want to learn. And they want to take steps to move forward. It just depends on where in your journey you decide to jump in.
Right.
It's reactive or proactive.
Right. And why is credit? Let's start there. Why is credit? Why is there such thing as credit?
Well, credit was established many, many, many years ago by banks mm-hmm. when they just want to they changed pieces of the papers is what they did. They said, hey, you need this. I have this. I'll give you this piece of paper, and you have to give me this back on this date. And the banks figured out that I could give you a piece of paper and just scribble something on it, and it puts you in debt with me. And if you don't give me back what we promised, I can then come and take something from you.
Right.
So a lot of people, because they misuse credit and find themselves in negative situations, they frown upon credit. Credit is actually everyone's best friend. Okay. As long as you utilize it the right way. Right. Because if you think about it, banks use other people's money to lend you money.
Right.
So every time you put money in your savings, you're financing someone else.
Yes.
So if you decide that I want to finance myself and I want to learn how to utilize credit, then you can do so. Mm-hmm. You just have to have the right coach behind you and know what you're doing.
I once saw a video on social media of this young lady, African woman. Maybe you've seen it, maybe you haven't. And she's speaking to someone. I believe the person was from Switzerland or from the States. And she said that the person was telling her how you know backward Africans were and like how they don't have any money and all of that. And she was like, and she simply stated to the man, but you know my phone that I have, that I got in Africa? I paid for it. I bought it. I don't owe anybody any money. I only have to pay for my minutes on the phone. You see the house that I have in Africa? It took me 5 years, but I built that house. I don't owe the bank any money. I don't have any loans. I don't have any of that kind of debt. But you're constantly in credit, you're in debt, you're always paying for something that you don't even own that thing. And I find that fascinating because like it feels like even the computer on which I'm recording our interview, it took me like 2 to 3 years to pay off the computer. So I didn't technically own the computer until 3 years later when I made that final payment. And that was all through credit. So like I'm curious what your thoughts are you just said that credit can help us, but at the same time, it always feels like something is being siphoned off out of our pockets. Like credit is putting money in our pockets, but it's also siphoning money from our pockets.
Absolutely. Listen, I love that. I know exactly what interview you're talking about. And I can tell you that it's a different mindset when we're talking about different segments. So obviously, the African culture, even parts of the European culture, have that mindset. We buy it in cash. If I can't buy it in cash, I can't afford it. But that's not realistic in the 2000s and the 2020s where we are now. Mm-hmm. If you need a home, no one has a $500,000 just sitting around. And by the time you saved up $500,000, you'd be homeless or no longer on this planet, right? So you have to learn to utilize the tools that are here to fit with what's going on in today's economic days.
Right.
So what that means is, yes, absolutely. If I want a pair of sneakers and they're $400 and I can use my credit card, well, I don't need those sneakers. I want them. So mm-hmm. I'll save up my money and then I'll go purchase them. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to just use my credit card.
Right.
But if you need to purchase a vehicle because you need to get to work and you've been shifted to a new office, that's there's no metro, no bus near it, well, you need a car now.
Yeah.
Can you afford to not go to work? No. So you have to utilize your credit in order to get your vehicle and then pay back off the credit while using the vehicle to make your money.
Right.
Now, where the gap comes in is we don't have the discipline most of the time to say, I did use my credit to get this. Now I owe this to the bank. I need to prioritize paying this. What happens is a month or two or three goes by making little payments, and then we prioritize something else and we forget this.
Yeah.
That's the issue. And that's where I say with my clients, the number one thing that we do, 60% of my job is habits. We change spending habits. We change the mentality of how you utilize your money and utilize your credit. That's why I said credit can be your best friend. Mm-hmm. Credit can be something that actually gets you out of a jam, because the same way the banks utilize it to get people to spend, you can do the exact same thing.
And like one of the things that I feel kills a lot of people or really discourages them is the interest rates, right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes when you hear, and I believe that this is a very strategic way that banks do this, when they're like, oh, our interest rate is low, it's only $19.99. And you hear those 99s and it sounds like, you know, it's not $20, but it's really $20. Let's be real. You know, like if I go inside, especially now where they've taken off the pennies and they don't give you any change, if I go inside and my bill is $19.99 and I give them $20, they're not giving me my penny back. You know, so what role do these interest rates play in terms of like how they affect the mindset of a person who's looking for credit, and what should they look out for?
So let's just keep it honest. The thing is that the interest rate is just a number to scare people who are in position to think about it. Mm-hmm. Now, let me tell you what that means. If you're in a struggle and you need $20,000 because you have to pay something urgently, you don't care what interest rate they're going to give you if they're going to give you the $20,000.
Right.
You don't care. Yeah. But they prey on the fact that you need this money. We can provide it to you. How much it's going to cost you to pay it back, you can deal with that later, but at least it gets you out of this jam.
Right.
This is where I think the education needs to come in. The majority of my clients that urgently book me for calls is because they're saying, hey, I'm thinking about going to bank to do this, blah, blah, blah. They're offering me 22, 23% for this credit card or this personal loan. And I just say, okay, did you ask about a line of credit? They're like, what's that? I say, okay, don't make any moves. You need to speak to me. We need to have a conversation. Like I said, the education is what's missing. So these banks, they offer great things. They do. But their job is to offer you what's most beneficial for them as a business.
Yeah.
So line of credit average right now is 10.9% interest rate. The average credit card interest rate right now is 21%.
Right.
You go on any website for a bank or you call them and say, hey, I need something. The first thing that's offered to you is a credit card.
Yeah.
Never a line of credit first.
Yeah.
Why do you think?
Yeah, because it's not beneficial to them. It doesn't advantage them.
But and that's why I come.
We're gonna get back to this because we are in radio land and we do need to take a quick break. Ladies and gentlemen, we are speaking to Clout Cadet, who is the founder of Clout Cadet Consulting, that through personalized mentorships helps individuals eliminate debt and optimize credit, fostering a mindset shift towards financial independence. We do have to take a quick break, play some music, play some bills. Keep it locked. You're listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Data, our data. When you're not paying for a product, you are the product. Especially in web and email services, where multinationals compete to manage your communication so they can make a profit off of the private communication you are producing. Coombit is a worker cooperative trying to help small organizations or individuals get their email, website creation, and website hosting services off corporate services such as Google. For more information, contact us at coombit.org or email at info@coombit.org. That's K-O-U-M-B-I-T. We are not on Facebook.
Nous gagnons, nous gagnons, nous fort, nous gagnons. gen pouvoi, se pou sa yo te mande mki jan bagajita. Se met kon ki veye kon, gen moun ki bale dro. Se bayo ki gade, lang yo, on di jan pop. A geto la ptoune, expérience an li bezwen. Bouche nen, on pou kabwe, mem si de lo an senti. Zoazo li fe nish li, ka li te kete lou, kwe li te pedi. Men non, mon cheme li, piti piti pa kouri, ou se riche maleri. Nou karezi, tan kou fredi, gade gade, nou fek vini. Piti tik, se tik, nou kon travay pou mfe. A gen fatik, bae sa, li pi kou paso. Senti bon koute che, yap touche sale. Gele samba konen, me yo te dim lot jou. Gen yo ki kon kouri, me yo pa kon kache. Men le mare ap monte, na wè sa kanaje.
Yo pa vle pou nou tinte la, men jodi yo me plie sa. Yo pa vle pou nou tinte la, men jodi yo me plie sa. Yo pa vle pou nou tinte la, men jodi yo me plie sa. Yo pa vle pou nou tinte la, men jodi yo me plie sa.
Let's fast forward this red tape.
When I press play, you ejected. Holding on this way now. Sitting next to an old flame.
Memories could switch lanes, so I'm sitting lazy with a new aim. We had food and two shots, then we got to my spot. This time I'ma get my hopes up, so real I need no makeup. Life is made of great gifts. I mean you were so fantastic, felt like it was magic. Our connection was so instant. Time to leave out romance, we're side to side facing turbulence. Not once, not twice, we gave a chance. The zone we flown could stand a chance. I take my hand, last chance. We got so high, now we're landing. I'm feeling down the distance, but there's no stopping.
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and with us this evening is the founder of Clark Cadet Consulting. And he is a Montreal native who spent 2 decades in Fort Lauderdale and returned to his roots in 2008. Motivated by a passion for financial empowerment within the Black community, he founded his company, Clark Cadet Consulting. Clark Cadet, thank you so much for being here. Before the break, we were talking about interest rates at banks and what people need to know. And you had said that you do have the option to get a line of credit, but more often than not, a bank will offer you a credit card before anything else. And we had established that was because the credit card rate is 20%, usually 20% and up. I believe 24.99 is like the basic. But you had mentioned that the line of credit is at 10.9%.
Absolutely.
Why is a line of credit that low?
Well, it's a different type of service, right? Mm-hmm. Credit cards are linked to either Visa, MasterCard, or another service provider. So they obviously split profits and split risk between them. But a line of credit normally comes directly from the bank itself.
Right.
And again, they're utilizing other people's money, right?
Yeah.
So we're not talking badly about the banks, but we're just talking about what the reality of it is. No mm-hmm. one gets a call from a bank offering them a line of credit. That just doesn't happen.
Right.
Because it's not the service that's the best for them. So you need to get informed. You need to have a coach by your side when you're ready to make changes to your credit or obtain new credit to kind of guide you and say, hey, look, have you looked into this? These are the options that are available to you because mm-hmm. it does not exist out there.
Mm-hmm. And what should people look out for when they're in the emergency mode? What are things that people need to think about when they're in that emergency mode?
Anybody, including me, because I always like to lead by example, anybody who offers you anything mm-hmm. needs to show you the beginning, the middle, and the end of what's going to happen with the decision you make.
Right.
So if I offer you $50,000 today and you say, yes, that's going to fix all my problems, you need to ask yourself, how does that affect me today? How does it affect me in 6 months? And how does it affect me at the end of the term?
Right.
How much am I going to pay, for example? People never ask the question, okay, you're lending me this amount, but by the time the end of the term comes, how much will I have paid back?
Mm-hmm.
I challenge anybody who has a loan to go look and see how much it will cost you if you finish out your loan. I guarantee it's more than double.
Yeah. Yeah. I believe that as well. Because again, it's a money making scheme basically that the banks are running.
It's a need and provide. I don't like to call it a scheme because that seems like it's sketchy. It's not necessarily sketchy. They're providing services to the people who are in need. Nobody's forcing you to go and get those loans from them.
No.
But when you're in a bad situation, they're who you turn to first. So like I talked about earlier, proactive versus reactive. This is why through my foundation, the Cadet Care Foundation, we're really doing a lot of initiatives this year to get people educated, get people informed, because I want people to know that before you run to a bank or before you run to one of these financial institutions that's going to offer you things, get informed with a coach, someone who can say, hey, you have all the options. Here's what they are. Now you can make an informed decision rather than making a stress decision. And that's the thing that we were lacking in our community.
And are entrepreneurs, do you find that entrepreneurs are at higher risk of making bad financial decisions?
I wouldn't call them bad financial decisions. Mm-hmm. I would call them urgent decisions. So here's what happens with most of the entrepreneurs that I deal with, and I deal with quite a lot.
Yeah.
I think we're at 64 already now. Okay. Since last April. So what entrepreneurs tend to do is they have an idea, they're like, oh, I want to do this. They take funding, whether it be business funding or personal funding, they put it into this. And when it hits the fan, they don't have a plan.
Right.
They're just like, oh, okay, this money's gone and I don't have money coming in, but I still need money to run my business, but I still have bills to pay. So there's been a lot of miscalculations, steps we're not taking properly. This is why it's super important if you're a professional thinking about becoming an entrepreneur, that you speak with a financial coach, have them help you build your business plan. So you have plan A, plan B, plan C. What happens if I invest here and I lose everything in this investment? How do I pay that back?
Yeah.
So these are things that you're not going to get when you go register your company online. You go register, you get your Quebec Inc. or you get your CRA number. Okay, cool. You're in business. But what happens to you when you invest in your business and things take a lot longer to pick up than you think? The bills don't stop, right?
No, they don't.
We all know the bills are going to keep coming in every month.
Yeah.
So as you're not bringing in income and you're dishing out money, well, that's an imbalance. Eventually, it's not going to work out. You need money to spend money, right?
Yes.
So these are the things that a lot of entrepreneurs face. It's unfortunate. A lot of them end up coming to me after even going to someone else who promised them, hey, yes, I can help you. That doesn't work out. They spend thousands and thousands of dollars to get help. And then that person turns around, takes their money, gives them information that they can't even use because they don't have the tools to apply them. And then now they're even more in debt.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing, Kim.
Yeah.
I am someone that stands on my business, and multiple people will tell you, you come to me and you do a consultation call and you have $3,000 for a program with me, but you have $3,000 in debt, I will never take your money.
Mm-hmm.
Don't give me your money. Pay your debt off. And when your debts are paid, accumulate some money to come get some coaching with me. Because while you're in debt, you're paying interest. That $3,000 becomes $3,500, becomes $4,000 while you're getting help from me. And all I'm going to tell you is how to pay that debt down. I'm literally for the community. I'm not from a big company.
Yeah.
I want to help you. So if that means that I have to guide you in a sense that here's how you manage your money before you even sign a contract with me, mm-hmm. I do it every single time.
Right. And how does one optimize credit?
So whether it's personal credit or business credit, you have to understand something. So I'll give you an example. I had a client that I spoke with who actually I spoke at a seminar a few weeks ago. They approached me right after and they asked me this question directly in front of everyone. They said, listen, why would I use my credit card when I can use my debit card?
Yeah.
What's the point? I said, well, why would you use your debit card when you can use your credit card? And they just looked at me stunned. And I was like, yeah, why? So your credit card, if you have a good one, it gives you points, rewards every time you use it. Mm-hmm. So if you use your credit card and you turn around, you go on your checking account and you transfer that money directly onto your credit card, what did you gain? Well, you gained that the banks now are seeing that you're utilizing this credit, mm-hmm. and you're paying it off, so you're not paying any interest, and you're getting reward points. So there's three key benefits that come from using the proper credit card.
Right.
Flip that question. If you use your debit card, what happens? The money comes out of your account and you get nothing.
That's it. Yeah.
So this is what's important for people to understand is how do you utilize your credit? Well, this is what it is. Credit is a tool. And the more you use that tool, instead of it wearing down, the bank actually gives you more money. You mm-hmm. get credit increases. Okay, well, Clark, why would I want to do that? Well, let's just say you have a project that comes up with a few friends and you each need to invest $25,000. And, you know, it's a flip of a property, for example. You each need to put $25,000, but you don't have $25,000 cash.
Right.
Well, if you use one of your credit cards or your lines of credit to make this investment, and a few months down the line, you sell it and you make profit, the interest that you paid is already covered in the profit. Now you've used the bank's money to make you money.
Right.
And this is what I want people to understand and learn. If you do it properly, and you invest the money and use the money for things that are going to grow money for you, mm-hmm. it makes sense. But if you're just buying Jordans and PlayStations and things of that nature, mm-hmm. yeah, those are depreciative assets. Depreciative assets are not things to be used for credit.
Yeah. That's interesting because I'm thinking here, like, so what's the difference between getting a loan and getting credit?
I'll answer your question in a different way. Let me twist that.
Okay.
What's the difference between, let's say, a loan and a line of credit?
Okay.
So, you know what? Yeah, we can do a credit card too. A closed loan is, here's $10,000, Kim. You pay this off in XYZ amount of months. And when it's paid back, you owe us nothing. We owe you nothing. It's good to go.
Mm-hmm.
That's a loan.
Yeah.
A line of credit is, here's $10,000. You pay us back. When you pay us back, you still have $10,000 available for you to use whenever you want.
Okay.
It's revolving. So when you go take a car loan, for example, when you finish paying that car off, they're not going to say, okay, so you paid $20,000 for your car, it's paid off. You still have $20,000 available for you to go get another car. That's not how it works.
Right.
That's a closed loan. It's done. So same thing with credit cards. Credit cards, you use them, you pay them, they're still available to you.
Yeah.
So loan are closed loans. Once they're done, if you want more money, you have to reapply.
Right.
So that's where we talk about how the utilization changes. Lines of credits and credit cards used properly can be an advantage for you. If they're used from a misinformed mindset, yes, of course they're going to put you in debt. But that they're not meant to be used for you to just use on day-to-day things that aren't going to bring you back anything.
Right.
They're also used to bridge gaps. Mm-hmm. So another way to look at it. Yeah. Okay, you know what? I've used up all my money this week from my pay, but I've got these bills that came in. I need to pay them now. I'm going to pay them with my credit card. And when my next pay comes in, I'm going to pay off the credit card in full. I want to say that very clearly. I'm paying off the credit card in full. Why in full, Clark? Because if you let that statement come and then they tell you when the bill date is, that's when you start paying interest. People don't even know that.
Yeah. So what I'm gaining from this discussion right now is people need to have financial discipline more than anything else, because there's a point at which the credit card benefits you, and then there's a point at which it turns on you and becomes that drain that I was talking about. Because like for example, we often hear when people talk about money, they're like, oh, they put the minimum payments and the credit card just keeps going up and up. But it sounds to me like it's more a matter of discipline. If you're buying something for $200, you need to put back that $200 ASAP.
Absolutely. So The method that I teach my clients is, if you spend it now, you need to be able to replace it before the statement comes out.
Right.
If you can't do that, you better have a really good plan, because you're going to start paying interest, and that's when it goes up. And another note that I want to talk about, and I'm pretty sure people are going to say, oh, yeah, I know what this is like. Did you know that if you miss a credit card payment, let's just say you're late by more than 30 days because you just forgot it.
Yeah.
These credit cards have a right to move your interest rate up by more than 10% if they want.
Not surprised.
Just because you make the payment.
Yeah.
They're allowed to do that. And that stayed that way until you make a consecutive amount of payments to prove to them that you can pay on time. Now imagine having to prove to someone that you can pay something on time for money that you spent.
Yeah. And, so this and, is what I'm and the reason it's funny to me because it's like, I don't have the money to pay that, but you're charging me more money to pay that, which I don't have any money to pay in the first place.
And that's exactly what it is. And that's why I'd say the financial education is so important. You mentioned discipline earlier. Absolutely, I agree with you. But before discipline comes education. So you get informed, you get educated, then you need the discipline to apply what you've learned to make sure that you stay on track. Right. This is why I'm so passionate about this, especially in our community. Every barbershop I go to, every event I go to, I'm annoying people. Like, hey, everybody's talking about, yeah, what's going on? You know, what are you got going out tonight? What are you driving? How are you dressed? I'm like, listen, how's debts looking?
Right.
Like, well, what's up? how are you doing? Like, what's going on? Are you drowning? Are you up to your neck? Are you dealing with credit cards? Do you have collections people calling you?
Mm-hmm.
Let's put that as the conversation. I really, like, you see my slogan is making credit cool. You see it all over my merch. I really want to make it the discussion that everyone talks about. When we're sitting around, let's discuss finances. And you know, in the Caribbean community, we don't talk about money. Yeah. Money's taboo. We have to change that.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I am curious. How does... Because another thing that I feel like is a huge topic of discussion, you know, with all of those relationship podcasts and stuff, we're talking about people's, what's your credit like? What's your credit score? What's your credit score? I have a credit score of 500, 600, 700. Can you tell us what is a credit score and why is it even important?
A credit score is... three-digit number that the banks and the financial institutions and, the credit companies give you that determines how well you pay. That's literally what it is. Your credit score is how well do you pay things back?
Yeah.
People don't know that the number one factor in credit is your cell phone payment.
Okay.
What? Oh, yeah. You can be late with your home service for Bell. You can be late with your Hydro Quebec. You can be late with all these other things. Don't ever be late on your cell phone payment.
Wow.
Don't ever be late on your credit card. Those are the two things. Those are the things that no one teaches you. Mm-hmm. They don't teach you that in school. Your parents aren't going to teach you. I'm telling you to you right now.
Yeah.
Never be late on your credit card. Never be late on your cell phone payment. Because when you go pull up your credit score, those are the two main things that are going to be there.
Yeah.
So with that being said, yeah, people need to understand that the education behind the financial literacy is absolutely the most important thing.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm curious, how did you first decide that this was a field that you wanted to get into?
I've been helping people for over a decade. Unintentionally, literally. Just, hey, I'm thinking about getting this house. And I'm like, yeah, did you check this? Oh, I might get a condo. Did you check the condo fees? Why? Condo fees can be upwards of $500 a month. Oh, I didn't know that. Just little information because I've owned multiple properties. I still do. Mm-hmm. And I've been in real estate as a owner for many, many years. But financially, I've been helping people around me always manage their stuff. So how this came to be is a few years ago, maybe 2 years ago now, I went with a couple friends and I was like, listen, we're going to buy a property together. We're going to do an investment. And these guys have nice cars. They dress well, Kim. Like, these were those guys, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
We get to the bank. The bank's like, yeah, okay, Clark, you're cool, but your friend, their credit's not good. I'm like, how is that possible?
Yeah.
These guys drive great cars. When I went to go speak to my friends, they're like, well, I don't know. I'm like, let's pull up your credit report. I don't know how to do that. I'm like, what do you mean? Okay, I show them. We pull up the credit report, and they've got late payments on little silly things
right.
that they could have paid. They just did not know that it would affect them down the line.
Right.
So from that moment on, I said, no way. I'm going to make sure that I can educate my community, the people in my circle, mm-hmm. and everybody that I get in contact with so that they understand how severe it is. Listen, one late payment at 18 years old, you will have to explain yourself at 25 years old to the bank when you want to buy your first house right. about what happened at 18.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And that's no joke.
That's crazy. That's crazy. Yeah, because I was one of those who got a credit card and just had no education. The person was just like, "You don't have a credit card?" And I was like, "Nah." And they were like, "Okay, well, we're signing you up." And I was like, "Okay." And it just seemed at the time like free money to me. And I made all of the mistakes in the world in that time, because you have to understand the balance between your income and what you're spending. And the false sense of security that I feel a credit card can give you, especially when you're uneducated and therefore undisciplined, is that you have all of this money. And it's like, no. You don't have all this is you don't have that money. You have access to it, but you don't have that money. That money don't belong to you. That money don't even belong to the bank. It belongs to somebody else. And have to be very disciplined in how you're using that money, because you're going to have to A, pay it back, and B, pay the interest if you haven't been disciplined.
Listen, I can tell you that what you just said, Kim, I'm going to need you to chop that up, and I'm going to need that sound clip, because you just did the marketing and the promo for exactly why I'm doing everything I'm doing with the Teen Cam. It's because no one gives us that information. These youngins go to university, and on campus, they have people with stands signing them up for credit cards.
Yep.
Never do they tell them how to use the credit cards. Never do they tell them how to pay it back. Never do they tell them what's going to happen if they don't pay them back on time. Because it's not their job. And even the university, it's not their job.
No.
In high school, it's not their job. So it's my job. So this is why this is so important, because what you just said is the exact gap that we have in our community that I'm looking to fill. And this is why it's so important that we educate, because it's sad. Like, you're 18, you get a credit card, you just do whatever. And the worst part of that is when you can't pay it, you're like, oh, forget this card. They close it. They send you the collections. You just ignore the call.
Yeah.
But then you go to university and you get your diploma and you're in your career. You're established. You make $150,000 a year. And you go to the bank and you're like, I'm ready to buy my home. They're like, what happens here when you were 18?
Yeah.
You're like, I was 18. They're like, you're not eligible for this now. What?
There you go.
Yeah. You have to wait 7 years from when it happened. And even if you pay it now, you still have to wait. So you see, it's not like you can just pay to fix your problems.
No.
Credit follows you. Yeah. And this is why the education early is super important.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are just tuning in this evening, we are talking all things finance with Clark Cadet, a Montreal native who spent 2 decades in Fort Lauderdale and returned to his roots in 2008. He is the founder of Clark Cadet Consulting, and he is the driving force behind the Cadet Care Foundation, which is a nonprofit dedicated to providing essential financial education, particularly to marginalized groups. We do have to take a quick break, play some music, pay some bills, keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Tree Canada's National Greening Program is planting seedlings across 5 regions of the country: BC, the Prairies, Ontario, Quebec, and the Atlantic. They plant in areas that are in need of reforestation or afforestation across Canada. Tree Canada selects sites where appropriate native species will be planted, to make sure that natural forests come back to life. To learn more or to get involved, go to treecanada.ca.
The propaganda can't done. The propaganda can't done. They get to you, them are up on the propaganda can't done. The propaganda can't done. We have been born in Babylon, the propaganda can't done.
Propaganda can't done. The propaganda can't done. I've been born in Babylon. The propaganda can't done. get none. The propaganda can't done. The propaganda can't done. We got the devil on the run. They embrace fallacy.
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and this evening we have with us Clark Cadet, who is the driving force behind the Cadet Care Foundation, a nonprofit dedicated to providing essential financial education, particularly to marginalized groups, with a focus on adolescents, low-income families, minorities, and youth. The foundation offers a range of services aimed at transforming lives and building a brighter future. Through his entrepreneurial spirit and philanthropic endeavors, Clark Cadet is committed to creating lasting impact and community for all. Clark, thank you so much for being here this evening. Even for me, as a radio interviewer who's been through life, this is already, it's letting me know that some of the decisions that I've been making are good ones in terms of like, okay, this is the right way to discipline yourself and to take care of your finances. And it's informing me as we speak. So I'm going to have to listen back to this show and with my notebook in hand and start taking all of the notes. But we were talking more about business in the first half of the show, and you do have a nonprofit, you do have this educational component to the same ideology that you want to share, the same information that you care to share. So tell us a little bit more about the Cadet Care Foundation.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as the founder of the Cadet Care Foundation, it's my passion project. So I created this because I wanted to help people in a different way. Yes, Clark Cadet Consulting is my business. I help people who can afford to pay for the services. The Financial Literacy Podcast, which is the Royal Tide Podcast, that's my way of dropping free gems for people constantly. So that's, people can check that out on my YouTube. But the nonprofit is because I wanted to do more than just financial literacy. I wanted to really go after low-income housing. So basically, it's my passion project. So alongside my incredible board members, we helm an all-Black-led nonprofit dedicated to providing essential financial education, particularly targeting adolescents, low-income families, minorities, and the youth. Mm-hmm. But we're not stopping there.
Okay.
So we're breaking new ground by offering a range of services. I'm going to talk to you, Kim, about a couple of things that are coming this year just to show you how diverse what we're doing is with the Cadet Foundation. So,
right.
Of course, we got the Youth Empowerment, which is the Teen Financial Tour Camp.
Of course.
I'll be going on tour this summer all throughout Montreal to all the camps and teaching the youth there about financial literacy and giving them a nice certificate as well.
Mm.
Then we've got something called the Newcomer Navigation. So we're educating newcomers to Canada about how the credit systems work so that they can facilitate effectively the financial grounds here.
Right.
Then I have the Reintegration Project. This is my favorite. So basically, it's assisting formerly incarcerated individuals with rebuilding their credit, finding employment, and starting a business. And that one, I'll drop something exclusive with you, Kim.
Okay.
It's going to be literally, they're going to come in. We're going to help them build their resumes. I'm going to do mock interviews with them. I'm going to have a barber on site to give them a haircut. And I'm even going to provide them with a suit, with a tailor, so that they're ready to go to their interview. So this is how far we're going to helping people reintegrate. Aside from that, women's finance. So we're helping women help getting the entrepreneur success and financing maybe there.
Mm-hmm.
Homeless aid. I mean, everybody's doing that, but we're doing it on a different level and we're combining with a lot of churches and other nonprofits to really help the homeless. Parental support. So single parents, we're helping them with strategies and resources for financial stability.
Okay.
And new parents. If you're new parents, you're a couple. You find out you're pregnant. Congratulations. But how are you going to deal with the finances that come with that? How are you going to deal with the struggles, the ups and downs? I'm actually creating a course through the Cadet Care Foundation where we're going to provide services and we're going to have events where parents can come in and we're going to help teach them all these things. Again, things that don't really exist in our community, I'm creating them for our community through the Cadet Care Foundation.
And how much did being a parent affect your decision, becoming a parent affect your decision to create that part of this, of the Cadet Care Foundation?
It was 1,000% the reason for it. I mean, I have a 1.5-year-old daughter, mm-hmm. full of energy, the love of my life. But going through that, you know, parental leave and being there with my wife and going through all that and seeing how hard it is on mothers, how hard it is on fathers as well, how hard it is on couples, a new married couple to have a new baby. Yeah. It's very difficult. And no one is really helping us with that. And being understand that, you know, we're a Black couple, Black family. We understand what it is from A to Z. And we got through that. And we now want to share that information with other parents, share that information with new couples that are planning to have kids, literally preparing them for what's to come and how they can do that to really get through it.
And what is it that you want to leave as a legacy, as information for your child and potentially future children with this foundation?
I want them to know that this foundation was created to educate, and it was created for everyone who feels marginalized. It was created for everyone who feels like they don't have support, they don't have options. The Cadet Care Foundation is going to be the most unique foundation in all of Canada. I can guarantee you that when the time comes, because we're not just creating or going after initiatives that are popular. We're going after the unpopular. We're going after the sectors where people need help the most. That's where we want to be. Mm-hmm. So my children are going to know that, you know, their father put together something to leave a legacy behind where the cadet name and the Cadet Care Foundation will represent for the people who need it most. Not what's going to bring the most profit, but what's going to be the most profitable for the actual people involved in the situation. Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned that you have a section of your program that is dedicated to formerly incarcerated folks. What are some of the challenges that you found that some of your clients who were formerly incarcerated, some of the members of the foundation who were formerly incarcerated, what are some of their experiences in terms of that made you decide, okay, well, this is an important part of the Cadet Care Foundation?
Well, knowing that actually members of the foundation were formerly incarcerated, but we all okay. know someone who's been formerly incarcerated.
Fair
so
enough.
What
yes.
we ended up, what I ended up seeing just through my own experiences with friends and people that I know, is once you come out of prison, whether it's for a white collar crime or it's for something fierce or something minor, when you come out, 90% of your opportunities are gone. Let me loop it back to what I do best, it's credit. Mm-hmm. If you have debt and credit cards and you go to jail for 2 years, what do you think happens to your debt?
It doesn't go away. It increases.
They don't go away. They don't freeze. They don't say, okay, when you get out, just continue. You've been in debt for 2 years. Your credit score is gone.
Yeah.
All your debts are in collection. And you have to come out with nothing and clean that out and try to go get a job. Oh, well, you're a felon. It's hard for you to get a job.
Yeah.
No one wants to hire you. So now you need to start a business, right? But there's only specific businesses that you can do as a felon that they're going to allow you to register your company under your name. All these are hurdles that people don't know what to do on top of trying to reintegrate themselves in society.
Yeah.
So we come in at the Cadet Care Foundation with partners where we're like, listen, we're going to help get you informed and we're going to help get you situated so that we can find out what your skills are, and we're going to help get you in a position where either you're going to get hired by a company
yeah.
who's willing to take you on, or we're going to help you build your business so that you can start. But you're not alone in this. You're not coming out of the situation and you're on the streets and you're like, I have no one to back me up. We are here for you.
Yeah. You know, that's I had the privilege of going to a prison and performing for them, because I myself, I'm a spoken word artist, and I had a lot of reservations about going to prison. I remember clearly my dad shared a story of when he just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time with some family members, and they were up to no good. He just so happened to be hanging out with them, and he ended up being scooped up by the police and put in a jail overnight. And he told me, Kim, I was in this 8x8x8 foot jail cell, and I vowed never to go there again. And that was all the motivation I needed to never find myself in any kind of prison situation. And so it was very scary to me. And then, you know, the media, the movies that we consume, The television shows paint a very almost horrifying picture of what the prison system looks like, how prisoners are going to behave and stuff like that. And when I was there, I feel like I had a life-changing experience. The brother that was bringing us there, his name is Sven Stelemak. He had asked me to be a part of it before, and I was like, oh, I'm not ready for that. Like, I want to do it, but I'm not ready. And it took me years before I was ready. And when I finally got there, the experience that I had is that, and I said it to them because I was performing near the end. So I really, it was like a 4 or 5 hour series of performances and eating with them and talking with them. And by the time I was scheduled to perform, I told them, you know, like, what I've learned today is that either you created a bad situation or a bad situation created you, and all you want is to be acknowledged, to be seen as a human being, and to be cared for, to be loved. And I think about, and I thought about that stuck with me for a long time. And it's like, you can't help what you did in the past, but you got to make a decision on what you're going to do moving forward. And
absolutely,
the way that systemic racism and systemic blocks work is that if you are a black person and you are formerly incarcerated, all of the things that came with you being black are double triple down on you. So now you're not even at the start line, you're 1,000 yards behind the start line, outside of the stadium, down the street, and you have to get to that start line before you can even begin to start.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, so I'm just, this is a really interesting foundation. You guys are touching on so many different aspects: parenting, youth, formerly incarcerated folks. What is the plan going down the line? Do you have other ideas as to other maybe micro communities within the larger community that you're thinking of connecting with and providing services for?
Absolutely. Well, look, I can tell you like this, the board members, they love and hate me at the same time. So they're like, this guy is crazy. He's talking about all these initiatives. I mean, the foundation started in December, right? In 2 months, right?
Yeah.
So I'm out here talking about all these things, but what people have to understand is I've always been this way. Mm-hmm. I speak it so that I can be held accountable for it, because I know I'm going to execute on it.
Yeah.
So by me speaking on it, I'm letting people know, hey, this is going to happen, and I'm going to show you it's going to happen. So when you ask me, okay, well, you know, what other initiatives are coming down the line? It's unlimited. I've had 3 churches approach me in the past 2 weeks that want to, you know, work with the foundation, because I do a lot of speaking engagements, and they're like, we want you to facilitate for us. Okay, no problem. Let's book it. Let's do this. Whatever I can do that's going to help progress, I'm all for it.
Yeah.
So unlike a lot of other entrepreneurs, this is what I do full time. So I don't work a full time job during the day and do this part time.
Yeah,
I've committed my life to my services and to the foundation. So in 2024, like I said, the financial team camp tour is going to be huge. Obviously, there's going to be the prison reform program, which I'm going to deal with. I'm going to combine with a couple of churches. We're going to get together and work that. And there's obviously going to be a big fundraiser event for the Cadet Care Foundation, like a launch event.
Yeah.
That's coming very, very soon, where basically I'm going to go to, you know, black companies, black entrepreneurs, people of color, and even non-people of color, anybody who's interested in making a change. Because I wanted to be clear that when I say community, it's not just the black community.
Yeah.
I lived in Ville-Saint-Laurent for multiple years in Montreal. Yeah. If you know Ville-Saint-Laurent, you know that there's no just black community there.
Yeah.
We're all immigrants. We're all in the same situation. So it's not specifically to the black community. It's to the low-income community, to the marginalized community. If you need help, you're going to get it. So this is what the focus is in 2024. And those are the 3 main things. Like I said, the teen camp, the prison reform, and then obviously the fundraising events that'll come. And that's aside from all the work that's being done with Clark Cadets Consulting as well.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So we busy.
You busy. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are joining us for the first time, we are speaking to Clark Cadet, a Montreal native who spent 2 decades in Fort Lauderdale and returned to his roots in 2008. Motivated by a passion for financial empowerment within the Black community, he founded Clark Cadet Consulting, and through personalized mentorship, he helps individuals eliminate debt and optimize credit, fostering a mindset shift. To providing essential financial education.
Google Ads. Reach high-value customers across your Google network, like search, shopping, YouTube.
Make credit cool.
I had a question that I wanted to ask. My goodness, why is it slipping away just like mercury? Yes, I remember now. What is the difference, if any, that you found having lived in the States and now having lived in Montreal for almost 2 decades?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I was in the States from 3 to 20, right? So I almost spent 2 adult years in Florida. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, as soon as you get to 14 years old in Florida, you're an adult, basically.
Wow.
So, that's just the reality of it. You're living an adult life, basically, at 14 now. The difference is everyone says that the United States is the land of opportunity. I don't necessarily believe that that's the case. Anywhere you are is the land of opportunity.
Right.
It's the mentality there is that there's so much more resources and there's opportunities to make money. But everything that you do in the United States is a stepping stone, the same way in Canada. So okay. I don't want people in Canada saying or thinking that they need to go to the United States to be successful. It's not true. I'm more successful in Canada than I was in the United States. But I would be as successful, I believe, God willing, in Africa or in Europe, mm-hmm. because it's a mindset. It's I've learned XYZ things in my 39 years on the planet, mm-hmm. and these things have made it so that I can utilize opportunity, and I know how to use the skills that I have to better myself. That's something that is with you anywhere you go.
Right. Right. Do you have anything coming up? Do you have any, for the spring and maybe for the summer, like maybe the way people can get in contact with you to maybe sign up their youth for your youth program in the summer that you want to share on the air?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, if you go to www.clarckabet.com, on the website, you'll have everything there, information about the teen camp tour. The teen camp tour, you send your kids to regular camps like you do. Mm-hmm. And if you have suggestions to a camp that they're at and you would like for me to visit them, send us that. Go on the website. You can go on to the information deck. You can send the information there. Or you can email me directly at clark@clarkcadet.com. My Instagram handle is Clark the Financial Coach. We'll plug that after. And there's also the website for the foundation, www.cadetcarefoundation.com. And the Royal Ties podcast is on YouTube. All that we'll plug, after. But there's many ways. You can't miss me if you're looking for financial literacy. And that's when you said earlier about, you know, wanting to take over. It's not just wanting to take over. I just want to be the pillar.
Right.
I love what Scale Up is doing. I love what the OFC is doing. I love what BNI is doing. I love what WIPCA is doing. And I'm affiliated with everyone. Mm-hmm. I want to work with everyone that wants to help our community. Mm-hmm. So by reaching out, by getting involved, by, talking to us, you help spark the ideas for what I'm going to help turn into reality to our community. So as you were saying, what's to come right now, there's something that's out there called the strategy call. So my strategy call was specifically made for people who are in need of guidance on their journey to finance, but they don't have the time nor the finances to pay for ongoing coaching.
Right.
So my strategy call is priced and created to cater to low-income families and give the help needed. Right now, we're running a promo where you if you go and get the strategy call, 50% of the cost is actually subsidized by the Cadet Care Foundation.
Okay.
So we've plugged funds into the Cadet Care Foundation to help low-income families be able to get financially literate. Yeah. And by doing that, if I can educate parents and they can educate teens, well, I'm not only helping this generation, I'm helping the next generation. And again, you'll understand that the Cadet Care Foundation is all about the people.
Right.
So this is something that you'll see the strategy call, you'll see the promos on the Instagram, you'll see the promo on the website, sign up for it. And if you're not doing a strategy call, my consultation calls are $50. Mm-hmm. And I've never spoken about the price, but I'm going to talk about it now today. $50. The average person is spending $50 on things that they don't care about.
Yeah.
But this $50 will get you a call with somebody who cares and that wants to help you. And my assessment form that you fill out before we even speak gives me an idea of what's going on, mm-hmm. so that I can provide you with the essential information at the end of that call to at least know how you're going to move forward. Whether it's with me or on your own, I want you to have that information.
Amazing. Amazing. Do you have any last words that you'd like to share with the CKUT community of listeners?
Absolutely. In fact, I'm sorry you got here a little bit of yelling. My daughter's upstairs having a blast. But listen, as we wrap up this insightful conversation, I want to leave our listeners with a powerful message of hope and empowerment. So remember, regardless of where you started from or what challenges you faced, there are resources and support available to help you navigate your financial journey. So whether it's through Clark Cadet Consulting or initiatives like the Cadet Care Foundation, we're committed to equipping individuals and communities with the tools and knowledge to thrive financially. So if you're feeling overwhelmed by debt, you're struggling to rebuild your credit, or you're simply seeking guidance on how to better manage your finances, you're not alone. Reach out, ask for help. Together, we're going to pave the way to a brighter future, and we're going to financially secure everything. I assure you, you will learn something in a conversation with me. Reach out. I'm here for you.
Clark Cadet, thank you so much for coming through this evening and talking with us about everything that you're doing. You can find him on www.clarkcadet.com. So that's clarkcadet.com. You can hit him up at Clark, the financial coach. That's Clark with a C, C-K, C-L-R-C-K, the financial coach.
C-L-A-R-C-K.
C-L-A-R-C-K, yeah. And that's about it. He's a native Montrealer who spent 2 decades in Fort Lauderdale, returned to Montreal in 2008, and motivated by a passion for financial empowerment within the Black community, he created Clark Cadet Consulting. Through personalized mentorship, he helps individuals eliminate debt and optimize credit, fostering a mindset shift towards financial independence. Additionally, he is the driving force behind Cadet Care Foundation, a nonprofit dedicated to providing essential financial education, particularly to marginalized groups, with a focus on adolescents, low-income families, minorities, and youth. The foundation offers a wide range of services aimed at transforming lives and building a brighter future. Through his entrepreneurial spirit and philanthropic endeavors, Clark Cadet is committed to creating lasting impact and opportunities for all. Clark Cadet, thank you so much for sharing with us this evening and dropping a few jewels here and there.
Listen, Kim, thank you so much for having me on. You are also a leader in our community. I want to take the time to give you your flowers, because what you do and the people at CKUT do is provide a platform for us to hear and acknowledge and get the information needed. So hats off to you and everybody around you doing what you do. I appreciate you, and I hope we can work together soon.
All right. Thank you so much. And that brings us to the end of the show this evening, ladies and gentle people. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson. We're here every Tuesday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Just a note, a reminder, a little something to remember. We are celebrating 30 years of Soul P this year in August, so keep your eyes and ears peeled. We are also in the process of fundraising, so the funding drive is happening. We need funds in order to support community radio. So do check out the CKUT.ca website to find out how you can support CKUT. Other than that, my name is Kim Dominique Ferguson. Listen to us every Tuesday evening. And you're listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Wait, what? What did you say? No, say it again. Okay, it's like that. Okay, it's like that. What? You know, I'ma stop. Not today. Not today, devil. Not today. Oh, Lord.
Let's pray. Lord, give me strength today. I'm getting tall, I should be NBA. But I ain't really got time to play. They wanna talk, well, make them sign an NBA. Lord, give me strength today. I'm getting tall, I should be NBA. But I ain't really got time to play. They wanna talk, well, make them sign an NBA.
This for those who told me that I could never make it. Could never fake it, could never break it, could never shake it. Never take it higher. And now I'm lighting fires. They ask who my supplier. I tell them I conspire. And now I'm floating and flipping. And yeah, the flowzilla. That little Jamaican boy, now they call me Jawzilla. Philosopher, hot step in the globe. Line them up and let them drop like dominoes. No love in my city that never fades me. Global warming, planet cooking on a high degree. Tryna finish college, tryna get my high degree. Insecurity, yeah, dog, I'm a stray, no pedigree. Long road ahead of me, flow, no melody. John Lennon, let it be, and just set it free. Make it heavenly, hold up, hold up. Now before I get ahead of me, raising a white wall, I know where the ghetto be. Daddy high yellow, grandmama palm tree. Nomadic, systematic, empathetic fallacy. I sift through the bullshit, find out what they brothers eat. Pole, know that the hustles, they go door to door. No love in my city, gritty and cold as snow. I try to show some love, I try to break the cycle. Fade away like my child.
Be inconspicuous with my flow is f***ing ridiculous. That's quite an accent. See, I'm from the south, but some of the most beautiful things come out my mouth. And I'm on stage just as soon as I come out the house, so I might as well give them something to talk about. I was a rap to make a blind man believe in the boogie. And if you came here, the move is eat in the boogie.
And goes in the mouth. I come from the back rows in the dirty house. If you leave the door open, mom's gonna cuss you out. I got a big dog in the front yard. You best put leave that bite hard. I got a granddaddy who think he's your car. And that's how we do it around these parts. Oh,
when you want me to come,
holla.
When you want me to come,
call me.
When you want me to come,
I'll be around.
I'll be up.
But gon' wish they did what I'm done. With a smile on my face, give the trophy to second place right after I won. Shake his hand, firm like a man, but talk to him like a son. And this way, I can still be a little something to everyone. And with that elegance, I rock climbs to reach this regard of relevance. Poised position in the plush of irrelevance. And I'm outstanding, outspoken, which is the unequivocal evidence. It is then instant vintage, and it has been ever since.
There's a ton of us,
yeah.
Cold in the winter, ready for summer ball. East side, west side, bringing you a ton of ball, ball.
Damn.
North side, bring you a ton of ball. Damn. Worldwide, that's a ton of ball. Damn. East side, that's a ton of ball.
Yeah.
Bringing you a ton of ball. My buckets infinite. We could go 2,000 rounds. You heard about a ton. That's about 2,000 pounds. Ready to dump it on them. Just double pump it on them. Make them feel like six sumos are straight jumping on them. Oh, so you woke? I put you to sleep. Now you got a nap. I spit offensive lines and play the center, man. Guess I got a snap. Ain't no finessing. Nah. We use a raw force. Come to the yard and I'll greet you with more swings than a golf course. Featherweights, we don't hang with them. Never. Let's keep it a fair sport. Live this took off. My material landed. Where? Sounds like an airport. My Tim's on. My Chuck's my whatever. Okay. Man, could be them Air Force. Man, who cares? As long as you suckers know what I'm here for. It's all about style and power. Power. Ain't no style of hours. None. Man, shut the hell up. Welcome to the salad hour. Big Rip is with me. Ain't nowhere for you to go, kid. Once we run upon you with masks on, it won't be because of COVID. It's because we
you already know.
Bring a whole lot of.
Now you see me.
I found out that I factor in these semicircles. The rain is 50 shades of the color purple. So much stuff out here to hurt you. No rehearsals, learn reversals. Kinda hard to read like cursive. You may not understand the man's banter until the end of my verses. And yo, more 7. This is something I can work with. Let's make music. Every time I rhyme, it's heavy, so make them wait. Stupid.
Hello, check it out. Canada, this is the doctor.
Yo, this is Slim Kid.
This is Fat Lip.
This is Imani.
This is the Far Side.
That's who we are. Yo, check it out. We're just chilling. You know what I'm saying? Yo, Imani, what station are we on? CKUT
90.3
FM. Cool it.
Are you a tenant in Montreal? Do you have questions about your rights? Your local housing committee can help. To find the housing committee for your neighborhood or for more resources, go to www.rclalq.qc.ca.
Heavy Trip and CKUT present. An evening with Revenge International recording artists. Horse Lords and Colbert. A no Grammy double whammy. Chock a block with Sonic Tomfoolery. Live at Sotrania on Saturday, March 16th. Tickets on sale now. For more information, visit www.google.com.
Ascoltați emisiunea de radio Marcaro pe 90.3 FM CKUT.